Hello, I see you're interested in the Corsa with
mobile connectivity.
Exactly.
And advanced European engineering for a fun dynamic drive.
All for just £149 initial rental, then £149 a month.
Really?
Search Corsa Energy. Vauxhall. British brand since 1903. Personal contract hire offer on Corsa 3-door Energy 1.4 75 PS in metallic paint. Initial rental £149 plus 47 months at £149. Excess miles over contracted mileage of 20,000 over 48 months, charged at 5 pence per mile. You will not own the car. T's and C's apply. Offer ends March 31st, 2018. Offer not available with free insurance.
For the first time in 13 years, the co-hosts of Gamertag Radio are going to have the first live recording in front of an audience during PodFest 2018. This live recording event is free to attend February 9th, 2018 from 6 to 7 p.m. It's going to take place at PodFest Multimedia Expo 2018 in Orlando, Florida. See Paris, Pete, and Danny live at PodFest 2018. For more information, head over to gamertagradio.com or podfest.us.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have a special guest here from Xbox. We have Arbro Pinello. We're going to be having a great conversation about Xbox One X. But first, we have the whole Gamertag Radio crew here. We have Pete. What's up, Pete?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good. Pumped, man.
Looking forward to this.
And also, we have Paris. Paris in the house.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Definitely excited to have Albert here. This should be a great conversation about Xbox One X.
I hope so.
And also we have Albert here. What's up, Albert?
How you doing, guys?
Good, man. That's it. Next week, the big week for you guys, man.
Oh, man, I can't even hardly believe it. It's sort of like knowing that your kids do, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's been, except you've been pregnant for like 5 years. And so, yeah, it's exciting, and I can hardly believe it.
Yeah, I mean, how's it been for you guys ever since you guys finally showed the console to the world last year at E3? Was it last year? Yeah, last year this year at E3.
2016 is when we did the announcement for Scorpio.
Yeah, Scorpio. Yeah, and then
E3 this year, we showed the hardware.
Mm-hmm. So how's it been ever since, man? Because you've been traveling a lot, doing a lot of press interviews, everything too, man, right?
I know. I jokingly call it the Albert Pinello overexposure tour, because it does seem like every day, like, somebody's going, oh, I read this interview with you. It's been good. It's been crazy. You know, it's funny. It got really real at E3, and it's been really real for the last few months now, because before, you know, in 2016, we just kind of had a few numbers, a few specs, but we hadn't really given any details. And that was kind of fun because it was secret. But like, once you announce the name and the hardware and show stuff, people got questions and they want answers. And so it's been really super real for the last few months.
You guys have any questions?
Yeah, you know, I want to start with this one, Albert, because we've had a little bit of a debate the past couple of weeks on the show. Well, I should say Danny and Pete have had this debate. But can you kind of clarify with Xbox One X, when we talk about backwards compatibility, the original Xbox games and even the Xbox 360 games, what is the Xbox One X going to bring to the table when it comes to backward compatible games?
So you're speaking about the original and 360 stuff.
Correct. Like, from what I understand, some 360 games can be upscaled all the way to 4K. But like, what is it even going to do for the original Xbox games?
Yeah, it's super cool. So we actually unveiled that stuff when, like, the day before we did the actual title releases. And we had Ryan from IGN come down and talk to the team. It's really super cool. And this is one of those things that we hadn't told anybody was happening. But basically, we just have these emulation ninjas back at work that just love what they do. And these guys tinker, and they're just super genius guys. And they were playing around with the emulator and had realized that they could unlock sort of assets and artwork that existed in the games that the previous consoles just couldn't actually display. And so they developed a method that allows those games to display higher resolutions on the new consoles. So there's three things going on. For OG titles, if you're running on Xbox One, and people are seeing this today, Xbox One S, the games are at 4x their original resolution. So most original Xbox games were in 480p. So they're at like 960p, almost 1080p on Xbox One S. And then on Xbox One X, they're going to run at 16 times their resolution. So it's like, I think I do my math, it's like 1920p. 4K is 2160. So really close to 4K. And some games like Ninja Gaiden actually supported 16:9 back in those days. And so it's a full frame, almost 4K 60 game that was done 15 years ago now. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to fire up any of the OG games on your current Xbox One. They look awesome. And we noticed that there was artwork and textures and stuff. I mean, back in those days, you were on CRTs, like monitors, like that little 13-inch thing back there. And so you like couldn't see the textures that were actually created. There's one level in Fusion Frenzy that has these little ducks. And on an old TV, we always just thought they were little lights, like little glowing orbs. And then we ran it. We're like, no, those are ducks, because you're supposed to duck when they come up. And then we saw it on Xbox One X, and we're like, wait a minute, those ducks have bills that are orange and eyes.
Right.
That was there. That artwork was created way back when, and no one's actually ever been able to see it. So for OG stuff, it looks great. And then for 360, it was a little bit more complicated and actually more interesting for me, which is that those games existed in kind of in the HD era and in the PC era. And some of the artwork in those games was created with wide color gamut, even though TVs and monitors couldn't display them, nor could the 360 actually, and had textures that were higher resolution than could be displayed as well. And so what the team's been able to do is sort of fool the emulator into thinking that the 360 is more powerful than it is. And those games are running at 9 times their original resolution. And also doing texture work and filtering work that the 360 could do. So we released a couple of videos that are side by side. There's 4 titles that we're releasing as Xbox One X enhanced games for Xbox 360. Because the game has to actually have some conditions in the original code to let those things happen. That was an extremely long-winded answer.
That's good. A great answer, because I think that's part of the confusion on what people may or may not be understanding about what you guys are kind of doing on the back end with these older games. It's not like you just stuck an emulator in the Xbox One S or X and you're just playing the game the same way it was a decade ago. You know, there are some things that are happening to enhance these games and make them playable today in 2017. So I'm really excited to see how this is all this is going to work out.
Right. Yeah. This stuff looks amazing. It really does. These guys are geniuses.
So in sticking with the theme of the enhanced backwards compatibility, and, you know, Albert, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to that episode. I got a little heated, because from a technical perspective, I was having difficulty understanding how much the level of effort that the Microsoft development team, et cetera, had to do to make these games truly enhanced, as the billing says. You know, this is now enhanced for, you know, 2017. So my curiosity was always piqued as to how much work was actually done by the dev team. Like, are we talking months in advance? Like, are we talking like sleepless nights and weeks and you know, jeopardized marriages to make these older games from the OG and from the 360 Xboxes, you know, ready to hit, you know, today's resolutions and scales?
Yeah, I mean, these guys, like I said, there was a really long article that Ryan did at IGN that kind of goes into this, but these guys are amazing and have really gone above and beyond the Call of Duty in terms of trying to make these games better. Like, that's been the mantra for the team. And you've heard us talk about it running Xbox One games on Xbox One X. We don't just want them to run. We want them to run better. And yeah, I mean, the story and the drama behind how the 360 emulator came up, and it's like, you know, to retell the story is the emulator, when we announced the 100 games at E3, about a few days before, the team realized that the emulator they had been working on was broken. They could get what they got working, but it wasn't going to actually sustain. And so they tell the story about how it was like the scariest and proudest moment of their lives when the crowd went crazy. Kevin LaChapelle, who's on the development team, and the folks that work on his team, it was the proudest moment of their life and the most terrifying moment, because they actually didn't know how they were going to fix the emulator, and sort of had they had been rooming together and were just brainstorming all night about how they were going to fix it. So there was a lot of drama in getting that done. Of course, the process of fixing it is when you see the game start to get better, and the amount of work that the team has put into now qualifying what better means. It literally, in the old days, was guys just playing the games over and over again with two screens, just going, yeah, this feels right. This is good. And that just wasn't going to scale. And so they've had to build these incredible tools to actually measure better, and so that they can look at frame rates and frame pacing and frame drops and latency and all of these things, and actually gotten to a state where they can quantify that the games are better. And all of that work then went into Project Scorpio. So that's how we were able to then add texture filtering and know that the games were going to have faster load times and know that they were going to run at better frame rates from Xbox One to Xbox One S. So all of this stuff, all of these little seemingly independent initiatives, Play Anywhere, the OG back compat, 360 back compat, and Xbox One, they're all really, really tightly tied together from the team and the technology and the work that goes in behind making all that stuff happen. They all build on top of each other.
I jump in real quick. You know, we kind of had this conversation at E3, but for people that are watching right now or listening to this podcast, I want to bring it up again. Can you kind of tell the story about Digital Foundry coming out to Microsoft, coming out to the Xbox campus, and having unfiltered access to Project Scorpio at the time, now Xbox One X, and just the thoughts that were going through the team during that period when you're like, you're letting these journalists in and you had no idea what they were going to say when they posted all their findings?
Yeah, I mean, it was a big, I don't want to say risk because we felt good, but it was certainly, we took a gamble because, you know, we have had a vision for what we wanted this console to be since the day we started thinking about it. And when I go back and look at all the old emails and all the old meetings we have on it, it's been remarkably consistent. Something I know the team is really proud of is that all the folks working on this have really stayed consistent into what they wanted to get done and how they went about building the hardware and how the specs were decided upon. And so there was a discussion about, okay, you know, we threw these numbers out at E3 and guys like yourselves. And I remember chatting with you guys, you know, back then is like, what do all these numbers mean? And, you know, you're not going to be able to hit 4K 60 with those specs. And I'm kind of grinning going, you know, I think we will. But we realized that, you know, I'm a fan of Digital Foundry as a tech guy. And I know a lot of people in the industry are. And Richard is actually someone that has been in the business for a really long time. And, you know, he's a journalist, like an old school journalist that reports facts, not clickbait headlines and a lot of the stuff that you see today. And he's got a reputation for being a straight shooter. He's going to call things like they see it. And so we said, hey, you know, we could do something. We could announce the specs. And all that's really going to happen is everybody's going to say, well, I'll wait for Digital Foundry to, you know, come through and tell me whether or not Microsoft is hiding something with those numbers. And so the team got together and said, why don't we just bring them out? Let's just show them what we've got. Let's tell them what we did. Let them ask us questions. We were super confident in what we had built and how we arrived at the specs. So we made the call, like, instead of doing our own event and announcing it, let's bring out Richard and have him have access. But we didn't know what he was going to say. I mean, that was the whole point. They're an independent voice. And so I remember And I know I told you this, me and a bunch of folks on the team were up, I want to say something like 5 o'clock in the morning, because it was going live in the UK. And so we were up super early reading the article, just like everybody else did, to see what they were going to say and, you know, decide whether or not I needed to update my LinkedIn profile or not. You know, I think it ended up being a great article for us, and we were nervous, you know, because we didn't know.
And now that a lot of people already been, you know, getting kits, review kits, right, of the system, and I know you guys been checking out all these unboxing videos, right? Because everybody seems very excited, man, about it, getting it finally, right?
I'm glad. You know, we wanted people to experience it for ourselves. We have this philosophy, you know, that we've talked about a lot internally, which is sort of seeing is believing, experiencing is believing, let the product speak for itself. Talking about this stuff is really hard. Showing it is much better. And so we wanted to get these kits out to people, as many people as we can, so that they can see what the box can do. You know, we're proud of what we did, the work that we put into the box, and I'm excited that people are as enthusiastic as they are to get their hands on it.
Now, my question about that is, you know, the system is already coming out next week. How many of these games are going to be already available, ready for 4K updates and all that?
Well, this is interesting calculating this, because, you know, you kind of go back and you look at all the historical numbers for consoles. And backcompat isn't really play much of a factor typically in console launches, because backcompat usually isn't there. But typically there's about 18 to 20 titles that are available on a console launch window. So we'll call that like the first week. There's already about a dozen games up on the service right now. And I think the last time I heard it, and I'll probably get yelled at, is I think in the neighborhood of 60 to 70 titles is going to be available within the first week. And again, this is like, I don't have the specific number, because we, you know, things have to come through and pass testing and there's all that work. But I think you're going to see, you know, well north of 50 games that are going to be taking advantage of Xbox One X with enhancements, which is a huge number for a console launch. On top of the fact that everything works that you've already got, and there's a lot of things that will be better without patches as well.
Yeah, so of course we can talk all day about the games and the power of 4K and everything that's coming with Xbox One X. But one thing I don't think that's really been talked about enough is, I know there's been the recent dashboard update, and you can now bring your own USB webcam into the mix. And obviously we're on Twitch right now streaming this, and there's Mixer and things like that. So will there be any improvements with streaming on the Xbox One X compared to the Xbox One S?
Oh, that's a good question. I know that the game DVR and screenshots are improved. I'm not sure if there's going to be Xbox One X specific Mixer enhancements. That's a good question. I'll have to follow up. I don't know.
Oh, good.
You stumped the man. Way to go, Paris.
You got him.
You got me.
So here's another one. Here's another one, staying on the lines of entertainment versus just gaming. So there's already a 4K Blu-ray player in the Xbox One S, but now with the Xbox One X coming out, there's just too many acronyms. I always screw it up. But with the X coming out right now, it kind of brings a spotlight again back into 4K and HDR. So how important is it to have that 4K Blu-ray player in the Xbox One X, and what can people expect when they pick one up in November?
I got to ask, do you guys have 4K sets? Raise your hand. Who's got one?
Right here.
Yep. All of us do.
Yep.
Oh, great. Awesome. Do anybody have you guys have S's, so I'm sure that you've played around with the 4K Blu-ray stuff.
Yeah, I have.
I do not own an Xbox.
What?
Because I have a PC, so I take
it. You know what your PC doesn't have? A 4K Blu-ray player.
No, it definitely does not.
In fact, we'll get to that. There was an interesting build article I just saw that talked about that. You guys know, like, format changes, right? When there's a new, I don't care what it is, for, you know, TVs, 3D, your new phone with the big screen, the cool cameras, there's always this wave of excitement and wanting to show off what it can do. And, you know, as good as streaming has gotten these days, if you're a audio file or a video file, 4K Blu-ray is really a cut above. I mean, it really looks remarkable. And so I think with all these people getting their 4K TVs, you know, people are going to want to show this thing off in the best possible light. And from a video playback perspective, 4K Blu-ray looks amazing. And so I think it's a great, story that we've kind of built in Xbox One X, the perfect companion device to your television. If you're going to get a 4K TV, you got to get an Xbox One X. You got the 4K games, you've got Blu-ray, you've got streaming. You basically have everything you need to take advantage of that television that you just got. So I like that it's all an all-encompassing, you know, console that has both great gaming and the media and disc stuff as well.
I'm curious. I know you and I and the rest of the guys, when we've spoken previously, we've covered this, but for those that either weren't there with us or, you know, didn't catch the last time you were on the show with us, what is the magic sauce that makes consumers either tell their parents or save up, you know, the pennies from cutting the lawns and washing cars in the neighborhood? What's to stop them from getting the X and just going to the 1S instead? Like, what is the magic? What is the sorcery behind the chips and the hardware that says you need to get the X and not the S?
You know, it's funny because it's an interesting journey that the industry's on with the Xbox One S and things like X and the things like PS4 Pro, these kind of upgraded mid-generation consoles. And my typical answer to this is, what's nice about what we're doing now versus previous generations is it doesn't matter. Typically, you get that point where you announce the next console, and now everybody that's buying the current console feels like, oh man, like how much longer is it going to be around? You know, I'm buying the old thing. And we don't really have any of that right now. We're as behind the Xbox One S as we've ever been. I've said this before. I think we're going to sell more Xbox One S's than we're going to sell Xbox One X because of the price point. And then I just trust customers these days understand how to trade off price and value for what's important to them. And it's funny because that idea that, you know, there's not a bad choice between an S or an X really informs so much about how the program works. If you look, there are people that are on a budget and want to play games, and I totally respect that. And the Xbox One S is an awesome value. We're going to have great deals. It's $279. You know, all those awesome holiday bundles that get stacked up and Black Friday and all of that cool stuff's coming. And I don't want anybody to feel like they're getting the lesser product if they buy an Xbox One S. And then the promise, the magic, the secret sauce is, hey, later, if you're ready, all the money that you've invested in that doesn't go away. You know, the friends that you've made, the gamer score, the content that you've bought, not only is it going to work, it's going to work better. And I use the phone analogy, like the screen sizes, you know, and I know you guys and I have talked about this. It's like, I don't have the big screen phone because I don't need it. I didn't want to spend that kind of money. It didn't matter to me. But for some people, they care about that big screen. And so they buy the one that's better. And so I think we have the best product on the market with Xbox One S, X, no doubt. Like, if you want the best console gaming product that exists right now, that's an Xbox One X. But if you can't afford it, or you're not sure, you're not ready for 4K, get an Xbox One S and all your stuff's going to work. And I think that's an interesting, something new right now for the console gamer to think about. And I like how we've kind of put those two products out there.
See, I'm a 4K rookie, you know, so I want to get some tips. Like, how can I get the best experience once I get my Xbox One X at home and I'm setting it up and everything? Is there any tips you could tell me? You know, I'm a rookie.
All right. I'll give you a ton of tips. Oh, like, now I'll come to your house. I do this every house I walk into. Now I grab their TV remote. I'm like, ow, my eyes, they're burning. Your TV is not set up right. Basically, the big trade-off you're going to make right off the bat is whether you're going to be in game mode or in one of the other modes, and it depends on how much you care about latency. A lot of times game mode shuts all of the extra processing off, but it's not necessarily how you get the best overall picture, particularly if you are going to watch TV or movies on it. So for me, I run it in what is usually their standard mode, which takes most of the post-processing off but isn't game mode. and then you shut everything off. That's the first thing I tell everybody. Shut off all the post-processing, all of the, you know, dynamic contrast and, you know, frame doubling that they do that makes movies look like they're running 60 frames a second sometimes. Turn all that stuff off so that there's no extra filters that are happening. And then we actually have an HD TV calibration utility in Xbox One S and X that goes through some basic color brightness calibration. It's really super simple. It's really easy to use. And I will tell you, I have my old plasma. I actually had certified where the guys come in the house and they like put their expensive calibrator and they tune all the dials. And for giggles, I just ran our HDTV calibration on that set to see how it was going to turn out. And the settings were like almost perfect. I didn't have to make a single change. And I always tell people, if you just want to have a good picture, run our HDTV calibration utility right after you get your set, and you'll get your colors and stuff pretty close to right, and your brightness pretty close to right, and I think you'll be in good shape.
Is that calibrator only for the Xbox One X, or is that a tool that's available regardless of the platform you have?
It's on both. It's actually been there since we launched in 2013. Under display, there's a Calibrate HDTV, and it's got a little utility that you can run. It's really, really super easy.
You know, viewers right now, and also people that listen to the show, they're going to be posting questions and stuff. So I hope you don't mind, Albert, answer some. We're going to pick some here, a couple, and
go for it.
Well, yeah, there's actually one I'm looking at right now that I wanted to ask you myself. So inside the Xbox One X, the hard drive, is it what type of hard drive is in the Xbox One X? Let's just start there.
It's called an SMR drive, which stands for, I don't know, I think it's like sequential magnetic read. And basically what we did is those drives have faster seek times. And then we did a bunch of software optimizations that basically guaranteed 50% more bandwidth on the drive that's in the Xbox One S than we had before. So it's a combination of hardware and software. And anybody that knows anything about hard drives knows that like where the data goes has a lot to do with your read and write speeds if you're on the outside of the drive versus the inside. And so there's a bunch of software optimization that puts the game data at the optimal spot. And basically the net is that we've guaranteed 50% faster access speeds for game developers. And that's one of the ways you're getting faster load times on the X versus Xbox One S.
So what does that mean for external drives then? Will we also see any improvement as far as load times go, or does that get out the window?
It should still be good because we're on the nice thing, and I've always recommended people be on an external drive just because you're on a separate channel than the internal OS. So you're not running, you're not trying to run game seeks and broadcast and the OS and everything off the same drive. So no, you'll still get faster times off of an external drive than you will off the internal drive.
That's good to know, because I've actually always moved my older games off of the system drive and onto the external so that I could keep everything local. So if there's games that I've wanted to play on my Xbox One that are older, that, you know, maybe not the current games, the older games and stuff, I've always shoved them over to the external, thinking, okay, since it's, you know, it's on an external, it might be a little bit slower for access speeds. But that's good to know that it's actually the other way around. It's good to know.
And I totally will tell you, I'll give a plug right now for anybody that's thinking about it. Get an external drive. We have a bulk transfer and backup utility that we have now. And this isn't just for X, but even if you're going for an original Xbox One to, say, an Xbox One S, or if you're getting one of the special editions, you basically had to re-download everything. You had to set everything up. And we actually have this really killer utility now where you can basically back up your system settings and your games to an external drive. And I actually just went through this myself, and because I'm a big, you know, fan of, I try and run through it like a customer does when I get home. Mm-hmm. And I was up and running, system update and everything. I was up and running in a game in like about 18 minutes. From startup, which if you think about the Switch is the fastest I've ever seen. It was like 15 minutes to play in a game. And if you've ever had to re-download any of your games or anything like that, you know that that's a pretty long process. Not to mention it's brutal on your data caps. So I was playing a game, took an update, got set up, We have a streamlined out of box if you're already using an Xbox. So we skip a lot of stuff that you've already seen. So it's really, really great. We have a network transfer version too. You can also re-download, so you don't have to have a hard drive. But if you're like waiting and want to get started right away, an external hard drive is the way to go.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
GTR is all about, you know, building community and, you know, just growing from the ground up, you know, the grassroots movement of, you know, Danny starting it off with his, you know, his original podcast on tapes. And then, you know, now, you know, here we are. And that's a similar story to how Movement Watches came around, right? They started super small, started by like, I think it was like two broke college kids who just, you know, wanted to look dope, but didn't have the money to do it, obviously, right? You know, college, it's not where you make the money. It's where you spend it. So that's what they did. You know, they started their own watch company, and it's like, you know, it's a very, very similar concept to, you know, how GTR grew. And shout out to them for supporting the show. You know, they sent, you know, they sent the crew, you know, a sample of watches for us to check out and keep. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it. And they're dope. No lie. Like I remember before we even, you know, had the opportunity to work with Movement, I was in the market looking for a watch, and Movement was one of the ones that I had looked at. I was like, damn, dude, those are dope watches. So, you know, and then, you know, it's almost like, you know, karma, like, you know, I was looking for it and it happened. Right. And shout out to them. You know, they've got a great niche where they're at. You know, they decided, why try to sell it at these large chain, you know, department stores when you're giving away money to the middleman and retail markup, when they get all that money to themselves? And honestly, that's a really sound business investment and concept. I mean, you want to, why give away free money? And on top of that, every time I've worn mine, everybody asks me, yo, that's a dope, where'd you get that? When we were at PAX a couple of weeks ago, you know, I saw Danny pimping his, you know, people ask, dude, where'd you get that watch? A dope watch. And you can get that dope watch yourself. They've got a great selection on their website. I mean, if you're looking for minimal, or if you're looking for rugged, if you're looking for classic, if you're looking for contemporary, they've got it all. Check them out. You get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to movement.com. That's MVMT.com/GTR. I mean, it's a really clean, dope design, and it makes a good fashion statement. You know, so it's time to step up your watch game. Go to MVMT.com/GTR. Join the movement.
At LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Is there any other questions there, Pete?
Actually, I have one. I want to go back to backwards compatibility. Go back to backwards compatibility. Little pun there.
back.
Mainly because there was a slight bone of contention between Danny and I on the show, and then with our listeners and viewers, etc.
There's any money on the table, I want a piece of it.
Well, it depends on how you answer. When you're dealing with backwards compatibility, there's usually a hardware issue sometimes because of the way either the game uses specific hardware. Is there or could there be a concern with hardware iteration with regards to backwards compatibility?
I mean, hardware is the key. And we talked about the fact that we actually had to, we included some Xbox 360 hardware calls in the Xbox One that we never really talked about until just recently. And that allowed us to read some of the native file formats off of a 360. And that's one of the reasons that we were able to enable it. The nice thing about being on an x86 architecture that we are now is it's simpler, although the emulation team will tell me that it is not easier. But it certainly makes it a little bit more doable. You have to look out for both hardware and software when you're doing this. But the way they've approached emulation now has actually, at this point, I think they would say there's more licensing challenges than there are technical challenges in getting games up and running. But they're always finding something that they've got to do.
I'm reading here. There's a couple of questions that I think people have been asking, like the same ones here. They want to know how quickly games installed on Xbox One X compared to like the S or the original Xbox.
It's hard to compare. I haven't tested it myself. Some of the games are bigger, and so that kind of it makes it hard to tell. It should. Okay. The goal was to make the 4K download and install times about equivalent to the 1080p versions on an Xbox One S. That's one of the reasons we did the faster hard drive, was because we knew we were going to be dealing with bigger games, and we didn't want the install times and the download times to grow. That's why we have intelligent delivery, which we've talked about. That's why we have the faster hard drive. So I would say if you're installing an Xbox One S game that isn't enhanced, it'll be faster. And if you're installing an Xbox One X game that does have 4K, it'll probably be about the same time. But you guys know it all depends on the game size, which varies wildly from game to game.
Here's another question too. Like, you know, for those that don't have a 4K and they already got the Xbox One X and everything, and let's say they don't want to update the 4K, that's optional too, right? It's not like you guys are forcing people to download that update, right?
So if you're on an Xbox One X, you are going to get the 4K updates for sure. That part isn't optional.
Okay.
And the reason is like, it's kind of interesting. No game console has ever determined the game assets by the television. And in fact, not even your PC does it. So it's interesting that people have asked, but if you think about it, like, even in 360 days, you still had SDTVs and HDTVs, and you always got the best version of the game that was assets that were available on that game. And so with Xbox One X, it's actually no different than it's ever been. You're going to download the best version of the assets that are capable to be played on that console, regardless of what display you have. And then I'll talk about super sampling and some of the benefits and some of the reasons why you actually want those 4K updates, even if you're not on a 4K TV. But no, the only option you have is between Xbox One S and Xbox One X. For titles that have enabled intelligent delivery, you can choose to not have the 4K assets downloaded on your Xbox One S.
Okay.
So to follow up on that, because I think this is important, because, you know, day one, a lot of people picking up Xbox One X may not necessarily have a 4K TV. So can you kind of talk about some of the benefits of 1080p and super sampling with Xbox One X?
Yeah, and I'm hopeful we're gonna be able to get some demos. This is really hard for us to actually show. I've seen a lot of people asking, and I always tell people, there are some guys online that have done some super sampling videos on PC. So they have nothing to do with us. They have nothing to do with Xbox or Microsoft. These are people that have done PC super sampling videos, and they're way better at showing than we are. And so I encourage anybody that's curious to go search out those videos. There's some great ones on YouTube. But effectively, 4K is all the information is there. And the example I use for the non-technical people is like a digital SLR camera that's like, what, 25 megapixels or whatever, and taking a picture in that and then displaying it on your phone screen. All the information is there. Like, there's a reason you want all of that detail, so that when it's viewed on a smaller screen, it looks amazing. And all of the detail that was in the original photograph is still there, even if your screen doesn't have the resolution to show every single pixel. And super sampling is kind of the same thing. All of the 4K data is there. So the extra lighting, the HDR, extra effects, the better textures, all of that stuff still exists, even if your TV can't display it. So actually, a 1080p super sampled image from 4K looks way better than a native 1080p image, way better. Less aliasing, more details, the textures look better. And so there is a huge benefit in the image quality if you're actually running the 4K assets, even if your TV doesn't display. And this is one of those things people are going to have to experience for themselves because it's really hard to show, although there are some videos that some guys have done on a PC, and I would totally check those out.
Anything else, guys?
Go ahead, Pete. I'm sorry.
No,
go
okay. Ahead. It's sticking more with hardware and FutureScape. Not a lot has been spoken about, and obviously if you can't, you know, I understand. VR has kind of been, you know, quiet in a sense from Microsoft, at least, right? There hasn't been a lot of talk about it. How will Xbox One X be able to handle VR moving forward beyond the launch of Xbox One X?
Yeah, I mean, I would say Microsoft has actually had a couple of big announcements recently in the VR and AR space with the Windows holographic stuff, the lower cost VR devices. You know, our first party studios have announced that they're doing some stuff for Windows. And so I think Microsoft as a company is invested in VR. For us this year on Xbox One X, it was about focus. You know, we wanted developers to really be able to focus on getting Xbox One X enhanced games. And I think trying to launch both a new console and a VR device, sometimes you end up shortchanging one or the other. We said at E3 last year that, you know, we were going to build a device that was built for VR, and clearly the specs would say that we're going to be capable of driving high-end VR. But right now, we want to focus on X and have developers focus on building X games. We'll talk about VR later.
Because we talk about this at E3, but I wanted to bring it up again because I think it's just such a cool piece of tech. Can you talk about the cooling system for the Xbox One X and how you guys basically had to just, you know, create, you know, your own unique cooling system for this device?
Well, yeah, there was a bunch of things that we had to do in hardware because we did talk about this. We kind of wanted to show off and we set this crazy goal that, like, hey, you know, I wonder if we can actually make this console smaller than an Xbox One S. And it was kind of one of many things we throw out there as an internal goal for ourselves. And so to do that required a real focus on ventilation and cooling and thermals, because that's really the biggest problem, is that you're trying to cram, you know, five times the power, I think somewhere in the neighborhood of three times the actual wattage into a box that's even smaller. And that required us to do a bunch of different things with cooling, the efficiency of the power supply, the vapor chamber, which we talked about, you know, like on Founders Edition video cards, they sometimes have vapor chambers. And then this thing called the Hovis method, which a guy named Bill Hovis back at the office came up with. And really it was about having each individual component and the system itself have a very particular power profile. So as you know, as being a PC gamer, voltages and clock speeds are super important, right? That's what overclocking is. You're playing with a volt, a millivolt, to see if you can get a little bit more performance. And what they'll tell you is every chip responds differently to that. Some of them you get lucky and you can crank them way up. Some of them you're like a little bit out of spec and they go crazy. Imagine doing that at scale and looking at each individual component in the box and only using the amount of power required for the system to work, so you don't waste a single volt. And by doing that, you save a ton of power efficiency and you're really optimizing each box, so you're not wasting heat. And heat is the killer of size. And by doing that and the more efficient power supply and the vapor chamber, we were actually able to build a smaller box even than the Xbox One S.
Cool. Sticking with the cooling discussion, one of the viewers is asking, is there going to be a cooling efficiency loss or gain depending on how you sit the console? Because some people like to do it vertical, some people like to do it flat horizontal. Does it make a difference?
Not really, because the way the venting works, that's what we do have the stand. I definitely don't recommend people just stick it on its side, particularly because this time the air comes in from the sides and out the back.
Good to know.
And that's why you need that stand, is to give it that little extra airflow under there. But no, it shouldn't. But, you know, just like everything, even, you know, any piece of electronics, be careful about your environment and how much heat, and that you have good ventilation in whatever you're putting it in. That's probably a bigger factor than how you store the console. You can store it any way you want. And if you close, you know, if it's enclosed in all four sides and you're playing, you know, Forza 7 and 4K, things are going to heat up. So make sure you've got good airflow wherever you keep any electronics, frankly.
Since I'm the Destiny guy, you know, I love Destiny. It recently obviously came out on PC, but the chat room is asking, Albert, have you seen Destiny 2 playing on an Xbox One X? There's your answer. No.
I haven't seen it, no.
Okay. Okay.
Well, then I'm going to counter you, Paris, because being the resident PUBG fan, Albert.
Oh, I already know this answer. No.
Albert, have you played PUBG on an Xbox One X in 4K? And what was your experience if you did?
Oh, man, you guys are going to get me in so much trouble. You know what? I saw a very early version. I haven't played it. I'm actually waiting for it to come out on console, which I know now makes me like some weird guy who, you know, like, because everybody's playing that game. So I did see a very early version. I haven't seen it recently, no.
Let me actually follow that up, because this actually segues in perfectly. So I've been joking around with Danny the last couple weeks that in my head, I've been trying to justify getting an Xbox One X. And the reason being is it's $500. The technology that you've crammed into this box for $500 is phenomenal. Wait, where's my wife? I just bought a 1080 Ti, so I don't even want to say how much that costs, right? Compare it. Like, you know, I'm playing
all
playing.
It's a bargain.
Exactly, because it's like, you know, I want to play games in 4K. I want to hit that 60 frames per second. I want ultra settings, all these amazing things that I can do on PC. And that's what you guys are delivering here with Xbox One X. And I was skeptical at first. I was like, oh, why is Microsoft doing this? They don't need to do this. You know, they're not going to hit the 4K 60. And then obviously Digital Foundry came out. We've seen a lot of the amazing things that this thing can do under the hood. And I'm not even looking at today here in November 2017 when it comes out. I'm looking November 2018. I mean, you guys, Phil Spencer has said many times, you're letting developers, they can do whatever they want. You're not mandating anything. So it is really up to the developer how they want to harness the power that's under this hood. And they're really only just now getting their hands on an Xbox One X. So I'm excited for the future to see where this is going to push the console space, you know, fidelity, visually, you know, going into 4K, HDR, hitting that magic 60 frames per second. You know, we talk about a game like PUBG, and I'm trying to justify it in my head because I would like to play with my friends on console on PUBG, and this would probably be the gateway to get me to, hey, wife, here's the PowerPoint presentation. I need to spend this $500 on this. Don't mind I spend all that money on the PC, but I need to spend this $500 so I can play PUBG with my friends. So that's kind of where I'm looking at future-wise. What, like, I'm sure you probably would agree with this. There's so much untapped potential with the power of the Xbox One X that we're simply not going to see with these games that are coming out in 2017. I think the future is very bright.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up an interesting point. There's a lot in there. And, you know, again, you and I talked about this at E3. The one thing I don't understand is the conflict between PC gamers and the Xbox One X. I've always seen them as complementary more than anything else, because you and I talked about this. There aren't HDR PC monitors. And the number of guys who have rigs that can run 4K games with high textures is not that huge, right? It's not the typical PC user. And we're just giving developers more eyeballs, more outlets, more reason to build 4K content. So I always think of them as complementary, right? And I think you bring up a good point. For guys like you that want 10 tenths of performance on the PC, but also want to play on console, this is not going to feel like a significant downgrade for you visually. right? And it's you probably have a great 4K TV. In some ways, it might be an upgrade unless your monitor's HDR. In fact, we actually heard that from many developers who were surprised themselves that they kind of preferred the Xbox One X version simply because it was on a bigger screen that was in HDR, and they hadn't seen their own work building it on PCs in HDR. So I see these things as complementary. I hope that Xbox One X is going to drive HDR monitor penetration because there'll be more and more assets created. The second thing I think you're right too is that if you think about it, the development kits went out right before E3, and we did do a lot of work to make developing between the two consoles really easy. And to me, it's remarkable that we've announced 100, and I think we're over 160 Xbox One X enhanced games before the consoles even launched for something that the development kits have only been out since E3. That is like a level of support. If you just take a step back, you're like, wow. And what game ever in launch has taken full advantage of every piece of horsepower in a console? Like none. It's always the stuff that comes in year two and year three where the developers have had time and more experience with the hardware. So I totally agree with you. Everything that we're seeing today represents a few months of work on our system. And we're already hitting pretty lofty, knock on wood, pretty lofty goals in terms of textures and resolution and frame rate. And yeah, I mean, some games are not going to be there because they've decided to do something else. There's always, I don't care what CPU or GPU you put in your machine, there's going to be a developer that turns it up to 11 that's going to tax it, right? Yeah, and so, you know, the idea that developers are held back by the development is not the case. They just decided they want to push things in a different direction. But I can't wait to see what next year brings. Again, these games have only had a few months on our box and they're already getting this level of performance. Imagine what next year is going to look like.
Albert, let me go back with the old games, with the OG Xbox, because, you know, I know that there's some games that has online from back then, but you guys shut down the servers. So is some of them going to have online features now that it's coming back?
No, unfortunately, if you remember, the original Xbox Live was a completely different system than what happened with Xbox 360. If you remember, there wasn't platform level live. It was in each individual game. You had to boot it up and sign it in the game. It's hard. People don't remember that. They just assume it was always there, but that didn't come until 360. So the back end services are completely different on the original Xbox. And we did close those down quite a few years ago. And so it's not feasibly possible to bring it back. And also, we also have to remind people, we're not actually touching any of the game code. We're not going back in and do it, even to get this resolution. That's all in the emulator. That's all happening with the game code as it exists. And then we do things in the emulator to basically make it seem like it's a more powerful console. But we're not touching the game code. And in many cases, these developers don't even exist anymore. And so it's not feasible. We do have System Link for a lot of those old games, which is a ton of fun, and you can system link all the different consoles, but just not possible to bring back live for those older games.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to know. Anything else, guys?
Yeah, I got.
Are there any other questions there?
I do. I have a quick question. If I recall correctly, there's a custom AMD chip, correct? That's doing the video on Xbox One X.
It's doing the video.
The GPU, is it, it's a AMD?
The SoC is AMD, yeah. All the video decoding and everything is done on the processor.
Okay. Being AMD, is there FreeSync support on the Xbox One X?
So we do support FreeSync over HDMI if you have a monitor that will take it. And we have been talking to TV manufacturers about trying to get that support in televisions. But yes, we do support FreeSync over HDMI if you have a monitor, a FreeSync monitor that takes FreeSync over HDMI.
What about 21:9 support?
Not right now.
Didn't think so.
I have a feeling Paris is reevaluating purchases made on Amazon right now.
No, it's like I said, and I guess we'll go ahead and start wrapping this up. But it's like I was saying previously, you know, if you're a console gamer, I mean, the marketing speak about this hasn't been a lie. This is legitimately the most powerful console on the planet right now. And quite honestly, it's not even close if you just look spec-wise on what it can do compared to its competitors. And the fact that this, they're pushing 4K, they're pushing higher frame rates, you know, they're catering to people that I might as well work for Microsoft. What am I doing? But the fact that they're you know,
you want to take over?
Yeah. I'll take over. No. But it's like, I am impressed, and I don't even own an Xbox. And I guess that's why I keep saying this. I don't own an Xbox. I mean, I have a PC. I do play anywhere, but I look at what you guys have done with this console. I came from being very skeptical to now, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm trying to justify it in my head. Should I go get this thing, you know, and put it out in my living room and have it, you know, as a part of my gaming life or whatever you want to call it, because I see the potential in it. I see what you guys are doing, maybe not necessarily today, but down the road, what it potentially can do. Like, as an example, I'm playing Assassin's Creed Origins right now on PC. 4K looks beautiful, but like I told Danny, I can't wait until you get your Xbox One X, because I'm dying to know what it's going to look like there. And that's kind of where we are. Like, I've been telling him, once he gets his Xbox One X, we need to go play Gears of War 4 together, because now you'll be able to see what I see, you know? And I think that's kind of the big thing, that you're literally opening up 4K gaming to an entire new market, you know, being console people. And I think it's going to push people to get 4K TVs. And like I said, the 4K Blu-rays and the whole thing. So even though I'm not getting one day one, I'm excited for this launch, because I see what it can mean for the industry. And as a gamer, that's all you would want, is to just push the industry forward.
I appreciate that. I mean, I it's been fun talking to you guys about this stuff, and you know, you're always busting my chops about it as well, which is good. I love it. I love talking about this stuff. It's been fun chatting with you guys about it. It's been fun journey for us. And I appreciate what you said about sort of everything we said has been true. It's really been something that we've been very specific about, the words we've used and the promises that we're making, so that when people get the console, it's everything we said it was. And, you know, I believe that to be true. And I, you know, when you guys will see it, I'm sure I'll hear it from you guys as well, but I appreciate you saying that.
No. And again, thank you for just, you know, sitting down, talking to us, you know, over the past year or so about this console and just everything that it's going to be. It's been amazing conversations.
You guys are the best. I've just enjoyed watching you and what you guys have been doing. So I'm happy. And I do enjoy our E3 bar room chats. It's always fun.
Yeah, that was cool. Great conversation too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then one non-Xbox question, because I have to ask, talk to me about that robot in the background there. I think it's Mazinger Z. No, on your other shoulder. Oh, the other shoulder.
I see Devastator. I do. Yeah. I see Voltron.
Mazinger Z on the bottom, on your, behind your left shoulder. The one with the...
right here?
That one.
So this that is one. An... this is a Grandizer Shogun Warrior, yes, which was not released in the U.S., by the way, only Canada and the U.K. And wow. This is my second one. I'm actually set it aside. But yeah, as you can tell, this is my toy room / office, which, you know, it's like my place of Zen. But yeah, I'm a bit of a toy collector.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I had Dragon, I had Poseidon, and I had Guy King.
So I'm looking up, I have them in the box, right?
Oh,
right,
man.
Outside of, and man. I have a Rodan as well.
Wow.
Not in the box, but I have a Rodan. Yeah, I love the Shogun Warriors were, yes, much, very influential on my childhood, that stuff.
I have one more question here. This is related to Voltron. Back in the 80s, which are you like, the live Voltron or the vehicles Voltron?
So, if you notice, I have them both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see that. Yeah, so you like both.
So, the Lion Voltron back there is the Solo Shogokin one that they just released.
Mm-hmm.
And then a third-party company, I think in China, did a Solo Shogokin-like vehicle Voltron. So, as a kid, it was all Lion Voltron. As a grown-up kid, I've come to appreciate the vehicle Voltron as well. So he's like the unsung. There was a third one, by the way.
Yep, hit with the six arms.
Yes. Hold on.
Oh, here we go with the, the source. Here we go.
The little known, not often seen, third Voltron, Albegus, which is super lame. So we don't even talk about him.
Now I have to ask you this. See, I was actually the opposite as a kid. I loved the vehicle Voltron because I thought the line Voltron was cheap because he just pulled out Blazing Sword to win every time. But have you watched the new Voltron on Netflix?
Yeah, I was telling the guys earlier, I'm like, I have a 3-year-old at home who I'm surprised is not bolted in this door hearing me talk. And so I have like no time to watch anything. I really like the reboot. I'm finished season one. I'm like halfway through season two.
Oh my God. You've not even gotten to the good stuff. Danny, tell him. He's not even gotten to the good stuff yet.
Season three is pretty good. Let me just say this
without spoiling anything. Vehicle Voltron and the third Voltron potentially exist in that universe. I'll just say this. Yes. 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 When you get caught up, you'll see what I mean.
It's a good show. Did you see the reboot they did like 5 years ago?
Yeah, that wasn't that good. I didn't like that.
It actually had a pretty good story. The animation was not.
Yeah,
that show got cool at the end. Wait a minute. Hold on. I have. This is a cool one, too. The Playmates.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great toy, by the way. Excellent.
That's really dope.
That's awesome.
That's a whole. We'll do another podcast. We'll do a toy podcast.
Just on that, right?
Well, see, yeah, because to my right, I have my shrine of stuff up here. I have all my Transformers. I have Lion Voltron and Robotech and all that stuff over there. You can't see it to my right. But, oh, yeah, I could talk this stuff all day.
When you weren't there, I gave Danny and these guys a little view of the room. It's crazy. It's embarrassing.
I was impressed. Yeah, I'm like, okay. Yeah. All right.
He's got the sauce. He wins the night.
All right, Albert. Thanks for joining, man, and recording this interview with us, man. That was a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun. I'm pumped. I'm excited, and honestly, like, I'm excited for the future too, man. I think this is good for the industry, man. So congrats to you guys, man.
Well, I can't wait to hear what you say after you get it, Paris. I'm sure we're going to find some reason for you to get it, and then we'll chat after launch, and you can give me all your comments.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, everybody, go to GamertagRadio.com. Post your comments over there. Remember, you can also find us on Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. And, send us your feedback. fanmail@GamertagRadio.com. Anything else, guys?
Put a release date on PUBG and say it's 4K60, and I might get one now. How about that?
All right, guys. Until next time. Peace.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Gamertag Radio is on radio.com.
You can now watch Gamertag Radio live on Twitch.
Get all the latest news and coverage related to the gaming industry.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
Don't miss the crew record the podcast live Sundays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get involved with the conversation, send us questions, and be part of the show.
Gamertag Radio.
Follow us, twitch.tv/GamertagRadio.